Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent, and turn from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Great passage. Please keep it open, and there's an outline of the talk on the back of the song sheet as well. I don't know if you've ever been to the little area of Kingswood. It's just a couple of miles outside of Bristol in the 18th century. It was a fairly squalid mining town. Very few who lived there had any sort of education at all. There were vicious colliery gangs who terrorized the neighborhood. The conditions were appalling. The people were described as less civilized than savages in a contemporary piece of writing, and so no self-respecting citizen of Bristol would ever go there. You might be able to think of equivalents today. But there was one man, aged just 25 years of age, and he couldn't get out of his mind the fact that the residents of Kingswood had immortal souls. And so it was that on the Wednesday, the 21st of February, 1739, that because there were no church buildings in Kingswood at the time, that George Whitfield decided to wander into town and began preaching in the open air to some of the miners. And records say that on that Wednesday, 2,000 people heard him. 2 days later, it was between 4,000 and 5,000 who turned up. That Sunday, the number had grown to 10,000, soon 20,000 were gathering regularly, struck not just by the power of his oratory, but by the power of his message. On one occasion, he took as his text that verse from Matthew, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And he's said to have spoken of hell as black as a pit, and of Jesus, the friend of sinners, and of the possibility that through Jesus and his death on the cross, that anybody might be forgiven for all of their wrongdoing. And he wrote in his journal that even as he spoke, he began to see the miners crying, and little tears ran down their cheeks and made little white rivers on their black, coal-blackened faces. Many were converted. And what happened in Bristol that day began to spread. It spread to Gloucester, to London, even across the Atlantic, became known as the Great Awakening, a glorious revival. At most times in church history, the progress of the gospel seems relatively pedestrian. A few individuals are impacted here and there, and the angels rejoice in heaven, and we rejoice with them whenever one turns back to the Lord in repentance. But in a special time like that, whole communities can be impacted. Happened again in Wales in 1904, happened in Nigeria as recently as the 1980s. And anyone who's ever read accounts of a revival like that can't shake the thought that they would love to see it happening again. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the whole town of St. Andrews was gripped by a passion to know God? If our friends, if our colleagues, if our neighbours, our relatives, the whole country was transformed by the preaching of God's word. Well, we're thinking this evening about another remarkable revival. When we think of the book of Jonah, we tend to think that the big miracles happen in chapters 1 and 2 with the storm and with the big fish. But actually, the biggest miracle of all happens here in chapter 3, as the whole city of Nineveh, a town of more than 120,000 people, repented of their sin, turned back to God, and believed in him. We've seen over the last few weeks, if you've been with us, that this book of Jonah is a book that is all about the grace and the compassion of God. It is in many ways a meditation upon that aspect of God's character, that he is one who abounds in grace and steadfast love. In chapter 1, God had mercy on those pagan and polytheistic sailors. So in chapter 2, it was God having mercy on Jonah.